This Mixed Sunday Morning podcast is presented by Robo Motors in Sylacauga, Alabama. Well known for quality pre-owned automobiles, RVs, boats, and motorcycles, and by Sylacauga Handicapped, the area's premier source of handicapped mobility and motoring equipment. Listen to the full show from 8 to 11 a.m. on Sundays on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix1065Radio.com, the Mix 106.5 mobile apps, and the Mix 106.5 skill on Amazon's Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama. Every week, we feature encouraging stories and have a great conversation with guests about their faith. It's Mixed Sunday Morning for the week of December 31st, 2023. I'm Greg Wyckoff, your host. In the studio with me, Miss Megan Santos and Miss Mackenzie Price. Megan, you've had the opportunity to come in here and get the question asked, who's Megan Santos? Mm-hmm. So across from us today, her official seat at the microphone, Miss Mackenzie Price. Who is Miss Mackenzie Price?
It's
a loaded question.
It is a loaded question, and it's a question that I think, especially as I get older, that changes quite a good bit with every passing year. Right now, motherhood defines me. That is my ultimate passion. That is why I believe God placed me on this earth, and part of my story is I was on the highest of mountaintops that I thought. And I truly believe that God blessed me with my youngest daughter, Ellie, to humble me and to show me what a greater purpose he had for my life, and that sometimes it's not all about you. It's about, just like I was actually talking to my husband about this the other day, about Joseph and Mary. I mean, who were they? Why them? They obviously had a way greater purpose than what they could have even imagined to raise the Savior of our world. Mm-hmm. And, of course, not saying that Ellie is going to be the Savior of the world in any way or shape or form, but I see so much joy in my children's lives, and it shows me what my greater purpose is. So motherhood ultimately defines who I am at this point in my life.
Kind of you too, Megan.
I know, I was about to say, this sounds like me right now. But me and Mackenzie, you know, we talk outside of this. So, like, we definitely relate. I know a little bit of her story, so I can't wait to hear more. But I definitely relate on so many levels of, like, my son definitely humbled me and also made me mature, like, because I was so young whenever I had him. But how much joy I feel and how, like, all I want to do is, like, I never wanted to really – I knew I wanted kids eventually, but whenever God gave my son, he was, like, you know, it was at a trying time, but it was also, like, a blessing in the same way.
Absolutely.
Well, Miss Mackenzie, we talked off air on why you're here, and I just wanted to mention it on air. We've known each other, and then we connected again at Miss Sylacauga, which was a total, man, what a blessing to have all the young, talented women in here as guests. And when everybody talks about our youth again and the state of our country, man, to get these young girls in here that are full of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I watched you because I'm a watcher of people, and I see things. I guess it's called a gift. I saw the spirit of peace in you. I saw the spirit of organization, because that is a gift. In the midst of the chaos of about 100 girls running around, getting on stage, off stage, from 3 years old to, I guess, 20.
I think our oldest was probably 24, 25.
And then you were over there, you know, you and Miss Kim Todd, but you were in the background, kind of keeping everything going. And I thought that was highly commendable.
I want to say thank you first off, because most of the time I do not feel like I'm very organized or that I am good under pressure. And I think part of that, just to touch on it just a little bit, so I competed in the Miss America system when I was in high school and in middle school. And it truly defined my life, and not always in the best ways. I struggled with an eating disorder that I did not come to find out until way later in my life that that actually was what I was going through. I struggled to find who I was, even though I was the most talented in high school, and I did this and I did that, and I accomplished this and I accomplished that. In the midst of all of that organized chaos, I lost who I was, and that was my identity in Christ. And I truly did. I mean, we weren't going to church consistently. I prayed. I know that Jesus is my Savior. I know that He came to save us all. I know that He was there behind me, but I felt a big gaping hole in my life, and that continued on throughout most of my college years up until I had my daughter. And that's when God showed Himself in a big way to me. I always said I would never go back to the Miss America system. Didn't want anything to do with it, even though it defined my life for a big part of my 27 years. I found myself a year ago, though, my husband's niece was competing at Miss Alabama as Miss Sylacauga, and I feel like God had His hand in that, too, and I never wanted to go back because of the toxicity that I had in that environment. But that doesn't mean, we had Brianna Burrell in here the other day, and she had such a positive experience with it. And, of course, my experience was a little bit different. But I wanted to show them that life does continue on, and that you can find joy in the weakest moments, and that you can learn so many things from this organization. And to not, really, it was a mind shift for me, too, that I could move from the negative and turn it into a positive in my involvement with the organization. And that's my goal today, why I came back to it and why I'm on the Miss Sylacauga board. And I'll stay there for as long as I feel the Lord calling me to be there.
Is that what you're waiting on, Megan? What? You said you were waiting on more to come.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That was pretty good.
No, I love and respect Mackenzie so much. And I kind of want to touch on what you said in the beginning, how essentially, like, you know, you were voted, I think, in high school, what, the most talented in the yearbook as well. I remember this. And so, like, and it just kind of reminds me how a lot of people, they can look so successful on the outside, and not saying that you weren't. You definitely were. I mean, you dabbled in everything, and the organization, I saw it back then too, like very, like pristine, and the way she handles things.
I focused on perfection so much, and I felt like the perfection had to come from inside me.
Yeah.
And that I, you know, even that, I remember when I was voted, my sense of self-worth during that time, I mean, so I was a senior in high school when that happened, was so low. I remember when I was told that I was voted that, I was in complete shock. I was like, I thought that these people didn't even know who I was. I was so disconnected from the truth of the matter, and I was trying to find my self-worth in so many different things that, and this is hard for me. This is one of the first times I've shared this publicly. But once again, when I asked you, I said, why me? And I was like, why? I have nothing in my mind. Once again, there's that enemy coming back into my head saying, you are not worth it. You are worth nothing to even be on this show. I mean, and I still, sitting here right now, it's a battle, because I'm like, what good do I have to share? But maybe if someone hears my story, someone that's struggling with it right now, then they can move past it the way that I did too, in their own way, and stop looking for the world to give them their identity and turn to Christ in honestly everything that you do.
And I love that, because now she has excuse me, a different meaning of success right now, that you've come back and, you know, like reinforced that faith that you said that you always had in the Lord. And that's kind of like, it reminds me of my story too, how I grew up in church and how I believed in God, but it wasn't until I got older and then, like, you know, fully committed my life to Him, and then things just, like, started to change. And, like, the grace and the peace that she has and how it comes from God, it makes me so emotional. I'm going to try not to cry today.
Well, and I heard you mention, too, I'd love to hear your side. I know you've said it on the show before, but, I mean, when I had my daughter, I was in college. I had just gotten back from a trip to California with Auburn University Hospitality School, one of 10 kids chosen to go represent. And that's another thing on how old we are. I've started calling college kids kids.
Oh, my
and I'm
gosh.
Like, ooh, I am getting old. But, I mean, it was like this after this after this. It was just like high of a high of a high on the highest mountain. And then when I found out I was pregnant with Ellie, my whole world crumbled, it felt like. But I truly believe that it was God knocking me down a couple notches to really see the importance and the value and beauty of life. And then right after that, my daughter was diagnosed with a heart murmur, and we went to the cardiologist, and we found out she had to have open heart surgery at a year old. And once again, he knocked me down a couple notches, and it really turned from, because at that time I was like, I'm going to go back to work. I'm going to keep doing all these big important things. I'm not going to stay home with my child. And here we are. And that grace and that peace that I had to find, I had to find it in Christ. I couldn't find it in other places. And that's something that peace that you talk about throughout my life, that is something I pray for often, is peace, just peace, and finding my identity in Him.
Well, I tell you what, we'll be back with Megan and Mackenzie right here on Mix Sunday Morning. Welcome back to Mix Sunday Morning. In the studio, Miss Mackenzie Price and Miss Megan Santos. Megan's got this grimace on her face now because it is her time. She's up. Miss Mackenzie, we had a great time talking. We really did more off air than on air, but I thank you for opening up and sharing, because like you said, there are people that listen to especially the podcast. I know a young lady in Houston, Texas, a couple of months ago that stayed up all night listening to the podcast. She was going through a very tough time, and the Lord allowed the words in the podcast kept her going through the night, and that was the Lord. So, Miss Megan, you're up, and I'm excited because anytime anybody says they want to bring something to the show, bring it.
Thank you so much for letting me speak, and we love to listen to Mackenzie too. And like you said, we had great conversations off air too. But the reason why I want to share this message is I was just thinking a lot about how kind of like what deters people from coming to church. And I feel like there's a ton of different reasons, but especially like living in a small town, things that I've heard before is, you know, why would I want to come to a place that are full of hypocrites, that are full of judgmental people? And it kind of gets me thinking that, you know, in the eyes of the Lord, I mean, technically, are we not all hypocrites? Because we believe in a perfect God, but I believe that, you know, there are Christians out there, I know the ones that they're talking about, that are like hyper-judgmental of over people. Like, no one's perfect. We're all human. We all sin. And I think, you know, in our humanness, our human nature may be sometimes to judge people. And whenever that comes, we just have to look to the Lord because He's greater and He could take that away from us. But I know like why they feel the way that they do. And so it kind of got me thinking of the reasons that, you know, they may feel that way, why they may feel like they walk through the church doors and they're automatically judged because here are these people that are, you know, I've also heard they're pretending to be perfect Christians that believe in Jesus Christ. But, you know, I think what's beautiful is that if you can come to a church where you're accepted and you're loved and you know that you feel the same way from your Lord and Savior, how that can completely change the dynamic of your thoughts. And so the three reasons that I kind of want to talk about today that, you know, we may be judging other people is, number one, we may not have accepted the gift of forgiveness for our sins from God. Mm-hmm. And the second one being, the devil may want to use things like bitterness, pride, anger, resentment, and poor judgment in order to create a divide between you and other people. And then the last one being, what we judge other people for is the same way we often judge ourselves. And so I don't know if you guys want to chime in, but those are the three things, and I have tons of things that I could say and add on to that as well.
Well, it's true. A lot of people don't go to church because they feel they're being looked at, they're being judged for things they've done in their life, and I know that in my family.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel that personally, too. There's been times in my life where I've graced the church doors after something happening in my life that we may have been told in the past is not Christian-like, mm-hmm. or a good Christian wouldn't have done that. And you almost feel like you don't belong. And that's that human nature, mm-hmm. once again, that when the beginning of creation, when it all fell down, that was something that was given, you know, that we we have to deal with on the daily basis now.
Right. And I think it sucks because, you know, you're already coming to church and then to be met with judgment from other people. And again, I just bring up us being in such a small town, like you hear things, whether they be true or not true. And also, I don't want people to hear this message and think I'm judging other people that judge other people, because yeah. I myself have been in those same shoes mm-hmm. about, well, she did this or he did this. I'll never forget hearing a group of people talking about these two specific people that are in church and how they were doing this over the weekend, all this stuff, and they were at church on Sunday mm-hmm. and how easy it would be for me to sit high on my pedestal and think to myself in my head, like, well, what are they doing here? Oh, I know what they did, even though I wasn't there and I don't know for sure this is factual, you know, just going off of what other people told me. But all I could think was instead, like, how God has changed my heart, because all I could think was, thank God they're here.
Yes,
that's right.
They're sitting in church. I'm like, this is exactly where they need to be if that situation was actually the case.
It's like, exactly where Jesus. I need to be.
Yes, I feel that way too.
It reminds me of that too.
And like, whenever we humble ourselves, it's like, you know, this is what I need. And one of my church friends, one of the girls I served with on kids team, told me something the other day too. And we just got to talking about how, you know, the church hurt, people in the church have, mm-hmm. it's like a different kind of hurt, but how we also have to remember that we're just human. And, like, people are going to make mistakes. Now, I'm not saying you should put up with people treating you poorly all the time, but I think there comes a point in time where we have to show grace and forgiveness mm-hmm. of other people the same way God does, because if we truly believe, we should be wanting to model our lives and the way that we act and the way that we think and the way that we love other people, because that's ultimately what it's about, that we should be striving for those things.
Yeah, because who did Jesus hang out with? Mm-hmm. He didn't hang out with the perfect people. You know, he hung out at the synagogues a little bit, but he was actually doing teaching in the synagogues. Mm-hmm. You know, he was teaching the priest, and, you know, he hung out with what's been called the least of these. Yeah. And that's us. I mean, we are not perfect. We make mistakes, and the church should be the place that anyone should be welcome. And if you're listening, and a lot of people with technology now stay at home and watch church on TV because they feel conviction not to go to church, because yeah. they feel that conviction when they get in church because they've done something. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, Jesus paid for all of that. He doesn't care what happened yesterday. He doesn't care what happened a minute ago. He took care of that. And just, I challenge you to go to a church that you don't feel that. Because if you go to a church and you feel that way when you walk in those doors, you probably don't need to be at that church. Mm-hmm. Because that's not what the Bible says, you know, how we should not judge each other, because we'll be judged as we judge. And I certainly don't want that to happen.
And I'll say another topic, on that same topic, on your verse, where two more are gathered. Mm-hmm. There is something so special about being in a room full of other Christians mm-hmm. and worshiping our Lord and Savior. It is a feeling like no other, one that you cannot capture on your device at home. I mean, there are so many distractions at home. You may be worshiping with your family at home, but to remove yourself from your environment that you live in and to go worship, it is just an incredible feeling. And
that's
maybe
good.
That's just me, but no, I just truly good. Believe. I mean, no matter how you feel, there are some days when you don't feel like going and you go, and it's like you don't want it to end.
Yes.
And just send some encouragement to actually go grace the church doors.
Yeah, and that's why I wrote point number two, actually, is because, you know, I was just thinking about, like what brings other people to judge other people too. And, you know, I talked about how, like, the devil wants to create that divide because he wants to prevent fellowship with other Christians. He wants to prevent the sharing of the gospel. And he wants to prevent us looking at other people through, like, the Christ-like lens. You know, he wants to us, you know, of course, like I said, we're all human. But I think he wants us to focus on the world instead of focus on the way that Jesus intended us to love each other. And so I think whenever, you know, we start to change our mindset and also probably even change the way we view ourselves sometimes. I've seen it. You know, people say that that inner dialogue that you have and the way that you speak to yourself, like it spreads to mm-hmm. other people. And so I know in my past experiences, whenever I was going like through so much anger and bitterness and resentment, that also started to spread to other people. And so I used to pray daily that God would remove that from my heart. And let me tell you, it was not just like instant. You know, it took a lot of time, but eventually I was able to come out of that and gain that peace. And I started viewing everyone differently mm-hmm. because I was viewing myself differently. And I'd also, which is, you know, why I brought up my 3 points, because it's literally what I identify. It's like everything that I went through to stop being so judgmental of other people and of myself. And so the first thing I did too was to, you know, accept that gift of forgiveness from Jesus, because I felt like I was not worthy. And so I kind of, in a way, by viewing myself as unworthy, I started viewing other people as unworthy, which is kind of backwards, I know. But like that's just, you know, like I said, the thought process and the way you think to yourself and the judgment and all that and the shame and the guilt, it kind of spreads to other people. So a lot of times I think, you know, we pray, oh God, would you fix this person's heart? Would you fix their eyes? And like, granted, like sometimes that they do need that prayer, you know, in not a self-righteous way, in a, you know, I care about this person, I want them to receive more of you, Lord. And how it's so crazy whenever we kind of turn that back around on us, like, God, will you give me this kind of a heart, your heart and your eyes, so that I can react how you would want me to.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Very well said.
Yes.
Thank you.
I would not expect anything less.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. But you said something earlier that kind of reminded me of the story about how I actually kind of wrote in my notes here. One of my favorite ones in the Bible is whenever Jesus talks to the woman at the well.
Yes.
Literally, like, one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And about how, you know, he wasn't looking at her like less than because of social status, or, you know, because of, you know, she was an adulterer and all these things. And, you know, the disciples were like, well, why are you speaking to her? And he was sharing the gospel with her. And then that made her share the good news with other people. Mm-hmm. And so like how, you know, when we kind of just change our mindset and change our heart first, how it's going to spread. And, you know, I think that sometimes in some weird way, our human nature is to compete with other people.
Yes.
But that's like the opposite of what God wants us to do, because there's enough room in heaven for everyone. Amen. Like, you know, so that should be our goal, instead of focusing on like condemning other people and then also condemning ourselves. Because what I encourage people that tell me that feel shame and guilt and stuff, I'm like, that doesn't come from God. You know, like that's not what he wants for you. Like the doors are open for you. It's already been done. Jesus has already paid the price. There is no debt that you owe anymore. So you gotta let that go too.
And that's something else I'm going to bring up, because you made a good point there, and I see it and I hear it from a lot of women, older women, younger women, that I don't know why the Lord puts them in my path, but I get the same thing over and over. I hear it that they've gone through a breakup, a relationship, a bad decision, whatever they've done in their life, but then they have to go find themselves, and that's what they tell me. They have to go find themselves. And the more I sit back and watch them find themselves, they walk further away from the Lord.
Amen. And that's kind of part of my story too, is, I mean, I kept searching for me in just the wrong places and the wrong people and relationships with the completely wrong people, when I should have just been searching for that relationship with the Lord. And, you know, that's just part of our story, I guess, as women, is we want that identity. I guess it's kind of our human nature to look pretty and be our own person.
Yeah, I think so. And putting like a higher precedence on mm-hmm. things that don't matter. And like this whole like finding yourself kind of thing. And people say they find themselves mm. as they get older. But yeah. It's like, do you ever really, unless you have God? Because our identity is in him.
That's right.
And he's the one that created us. So it's like, you know, if you're ever confused, go to the one that made you.
Meet him at the well.
Yep.
Look at there.
I love that.
Y'all are good.
Oh, thank you.
We'll be back with Megan and McKenzie right here on Mix Sunday Morning. It's Mix Sunday Morning in the studio. Miss Megan Santos, Miss McKenzie Price. I'm Greg Wyckoff, and it is New Year's Eve. And so one of the fun things about New Year's are New Year's resolutions. Do you guys ever do New Year's resolutions?
You know, it's funny as I used to not, or they used to be really silly, like, oh, I'm going to redo my entire wardrobe, or I'm going to start really getting into working out like a lot of people do. But now I started doing prayer and fasting. So my New Year's resolutions look a lot different over the last couple of years.
That is a little different.
Yeah, that's actually really similar to mine too. I mean, I would never follow through with any resolutions, but we do the prayer and fasting as well.
Well, for 2023, according to Forbes, the top 10, the first one, and this is done by age demographics, and this is all 18 to 25-year-olds said drink less alcohol. And so that's good that the younger generation
is
they want to back off of it. Number two, improve diet, and that was spread across 18 through 57 pretty, because everybody wants to lose weight.
Yeah.
Number three, improve finances.
Okay.
That's one. And now I guess New Year's is always a good time to begin something. Number four, improve fitness. Everybody wants to be, we kind of talked about it. Everybody wants to look like the world wants us to look.
Yes.
So, and I'll emphasize that, the world. Here's a new one that is talked about a lot now. And that's to improve mental health. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are getting into, like they said, the diet now to help. They're getting stress out of their life. They're, you know, trying to refocus themselves to have better mental health. Improve work-life balance. And that's always tough for people.
Right.
Because I do really good at it. I can check out of work. And when I hear that little badge beep, I don't think about it.
Yeah.
You can call me. I'll handle anything, but I do not think about it. I'm done. I'll see you tomorrow.
Well, that's good.
Learn a new skill. And that was in the 18 to 25 demographic that everybody in that age group had put to learn a new skill. Hmm. And that's kind of interesting because that group went to college or went to work, and now they want to learn a new skill.
I wouldn't really – see, whenever I think of learn a new skill, though, I think maybe they're like, I'm going to get into painting.
Yeah,
get
or like into crocheting. Drawing.
Yeah, things like that. Like more like a creative outlet type of thing. That's how I interpret that.
But maybe that's our creative brains. Maybe it's
– there we go.
Yeah, maybe other people actually want to learn.
See, I've been coloring books, and it's very therapeutic. Just got to put that out there.
Well, this goes right along with it. And just reinforced what you said, the next one is make more time – or hobbies, and that, again, is in the 18 to 25 age group.
Okay, well, maybe the previous one was talking about an actual, like, skill you can use, and hobbies are what we're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we're just...
maybe, like, learning a new language? Would that be one?
I don't know.
Working on my Spanish.
Yeah.
Why do you need to know Spanish in Alabama?
Whoa, hang on. I'm half Hispanic.
Come on now. I mean, where are you going to... Well, we have Taco Bell now, so I guess you can...
That's not authentic, okay? I want to be able to go to the Mexican restaurants and be able to speak with them and know what they're saying.
I guess one of my irrational fears is like being lost in Mexico and not being able to talk to anyone.
Oh gosh, why are we the same person?
I did take 3 years of Spanish in school.
Yeah, I did too.
And I remember.
And I took a couple of years in college too. And I
did Spanish and French. Much.
Mm-hmm. Look at you.
My dad's from El Salvador. My dad is Hispanic. He speaks Spanish. He's mm-hmm. fluent. He just never taught us. So, yeah.
So you don't speak it?
I speak a little bit.
A little bit?
A little bit.
It's always been English in your house?
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I know.
Hmm.
Kind of sad, actually. Wish I had learned, but it's okay. We're learning now.
Yeah.
Putting on the New Year's resolution.
Well, the next one goes from 18 to 41-year-old. Said, make more time for loved ones. So the younger generation sees the importance of finding more time to spend with the people that mm-hmm. you love, because our schedules get really hectic. I know I struggle to, I always said if I had 25 hours in a day, I could do a lot more. because it just doesn't, you know, I had James Spann in here week before last, and he goes to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. He's up at 4 in the morning and he is scheduled all day long. And that was his thing. His schedule is his, the thing he fights, because he's always has to do something.
I'm just stunned. I'm stunned with that. I mean, that is, that's a lot.
You don't have to go back. I'll send that interview to you. Yeah. It's amazing that a man keeps the schedule. Because I asked him, I said, no disrespect, but when do you have time to be James?
Yeah.
And then after he teaches the kids at church on Sunday.
I didn't know he did that too. See, there's a lot about him I don't know.
He plays tennis with a group of his friends. They've done it for years on Sunday afternoons, and that's his peace time.
Yeah.
So he gets up at 4?
Every morning.
And goes to bed at 1. So he gets 3 hours of sleep.
He's home about midnight every night. And, you know, he said there is downtime in the day.
Yeah.
But he tries to, you know, he has TV, he has radio. He tries to visit at least 2 schools per day.
Wow.
You know, he does podcasts from his house. I mean, it just doesn't end.
Wait, now I feel kind of left out. Why hasn't he been to Silicaga, or have I just missed it?
He was. He came down to do a book signing at Cup of Grace. And it was awesome that Mr. Lee Perryman hooked him up to come to the show.
But I don't think he went to the schools.
Oh, I'm sad that I missed it anyways. We love you, James Spann. James Spann, the Weatherman.
Now, here's the next one is interesting because of the wording of it. And this is, again, the 18 through 25 group is the only one to meditate regularly. Where that's a tough word, because praying is different than meditating.
Yes.
And you can lose yourself if you meditate. You need to be in prayer more regularly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like you have something to say. I'm going to let you go first, Mackenzie.
Oh, I don't, I mean, I think with... This could be a whole rant. Why don't you start? I'm going to go off of you.
Okay, okay. So, and I, see, I was thinking about why you're, whenever you're listing things off that, I don't want this to come off harsh. Because I understand all of those resolutions. And they're great. They're good things. But I didn't hear anything about God. I didn't hear anything about their spiritual lives and how it kind of seems like a lot of times, and we have a habit of getting distracted, focusing on other things instead of focusing on Him. Whenever I feel like, I don't know, like almost like, you know, kind of like we have a tendency to like replace Him with other things, you know, like I'm going to be so focused on working out. That's great. You should be healthy. You should take care of the body that God gave you. You know, if you want to meditate, cool, deep breathing, you know, that's therapeutic, going to therapy. Again, all wonderful things, but I just think about how cool is it if our resolutions were like, I'm going to spend more time with God. I'm going to spend more time with the Word, because, you know, kind of like how you were talking about James Spann and his schedule, that's not going to work for me. I respect it, and I love that he's a busy man, and he spends time with his friends, like you said, playing tennis. But at the same time, if, you know, if he can do that, all of that in a day, who's to say that we can't do all of those things on that resolution if we want to do all 10 and include time with God in there?
Well, and I guess, Greg, you asked us if we did any New Year's resolutions. Do you?
I don't.
Okay. Why is your reasoning behind why you don't do them?
Because I feel like if I'm going to begin something, I'll start it. If I'm convicted to start something or change my life or I do it that day.
And I was literally about to say that, but I had a feeling you were probably going to say something really similar to that when you were talking about it. I think that because Christ gives us a whole new life, we can start again no matter if it's January 1st or July 27th or October 3rd, you know, we don't have to wait until a specific day. I think the world puts too much emphasis on new year, new me, new things. I mean, even I felt very convicted even about, I know this is the New Year's show, but even about Christmas this year, I think the world, with social media and everything being in your face all the time, it is so distracting. And I know every generation it's been distracting from the Lord. But, I mean, especially now, it is always in your face of the biggest, brightest, bestest thing. I'm going to be the best I can be. And it does lose sight of our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. I think that's so interesting, too, that you said you don't do New Year's resolutions. And, like, I stopped doing them years ago. Like I said, especially, like, I mean, I'm trying to think of how many years ago. Anyways, a while back, mostly in high school, it was, like, more focused on, like, my outward appearance. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to be in the gym, mm-hmm. new makeup routine, new wardrobe in the closet, new me, baby, type of thing. But then I stopped doing them completely because I was just, like, there's so much pressure to start something new or try to change things whenever, like you said, whenever you feel convicted, you can already do that. And so it's funny because, you know, Church in the Highlands, where Mackenzie and I go, they actually designate the first 3 weeks because, you know, it takes, they say, 21 days to instill a new habit. Yeah. And so we do prayer and fasting. And so we get up really early every morning, we pray, and it's just such a great time to start the new year for those that want to and really dedicate it to spending a lot more time with the Lord and giving up something that is distracting from spending time with mm-hmm. him. But I've already kind of started doing that. I've given up social media since before Thanksgiving. My boyfriend and I decided to do this together, and we've been off of social media and been doing prayer and fasting from that. So now I was like, I got to find something new. Because we said we were actually going to get back on social media for the new, during the new year. We said until January 1st. But then I said, you know what? It's been going so great. Why don't we just keep going? Mm-hmm. Like, it's been so good for us.
And that's tough you said that, because I try not to. I try my best not to get on social media or post any. But then there are people that ask me, why aren't you posting videos anymore? Why don't mm-hmm. you do this? Why aren't you doing that? And it's, I guess that's my battle right now.
Yeah, I think it's a personal conviction for sure. Once again, why? Why do you do anything? And I think that is a big reason on, you have to ask yourself, am I doing this for my benefit or for the benefit of the kingdom?
Yeah, because I don't want anybody to ever think I'm doing it for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had some people that wanted me to do a daily, like, inspirational video. And I did it for about 3 weeks, and I just didn't want people to think that, oh, there's Greg jumping on there again, you know, Greg blah blah blah, and it's not about me. Mm-hmm. And people will get that idea, you know, the more you do, the more they, you know, oh, he's trying to, you know, now I just try to show my dogs, my grandkids, yeah. And have fun with it, but not and who knows what will come, you know, if the Lord convicts me to share some things, I'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say it's so much better if it's more like organic and authentic of like whenever you want to share it. Because inspirational videos, I have no doubt, I mean, you're a great speaker. Mm-hmm. You were full of wisdom. I'm sure they were wonderful. But it's like every single day, like I can see what you were thinking. Like, you know, other people might think like, oh, like, you know, we're only seeing him. And it's not, you know, it's more like generated to just put something on there every single day. Because, you know, the algorithm, things like that, like so people continuously see it over and over and over again. But, yeah.
It's not me.
No.
Mm-hmm. Not me.
So I don't know what I'm going to give up for prayer and fasting yet. I'm not going to lie. To be determined. My boyfriend was like, give up fast food. I'm like, but see, I don't really eat fast food like that. I was like, I want to give up something that's actually hindering my time with God. Mm-hmm. And I know what it is. And I know it sounds terrible that I'm just like, it's gonna be so hard. Like the social media thing at first was hard for me, y'all. I mean, I have not cheated, not one time. I've not gone and do like a peek, nothing. Been so good about it. But I was like, Netflix
binger. Are you a binger?
See, I think that I'm having like this post, like Jackson always making me watch what he wants to, but now he can watch like his tablet or my phone, and now I get to also watch what I want to watch. So yeah. It's like I'm like making up for all that lost time. I'm talking about like a year and a half of, you know, but anyway, so I'm just like, if there's one thing that I'm like, you know, I want to challenge myself. So I guess I'm saying it out here, you know, putting it out there. So now I got to give it up. So I'm going to give it up.
Okay.
Give it up. And I'll spend like, then my evenings will be dedicated to, you know, I do read. I love to read books. I love to read the word too. But I'm like, now if I'm not going to be watching Netflix or anything, then there we go. More time to spend in the word. And that's going to be a lot better for me anyways.
But I do want to say, because I said it before, you know, there are some people that do make life-changing decisions for a New Year's resolution. Mm-hmm. I know friends that have given up alcohol. They've given up smoking. And that was the day they just cold said, I'm done with it. Mm-hmm. And if that's the day you need, fine.
Yeah.
Fine. I'm happy you gave it up. But I have a feeling, like you said, you will do things when you're convicted, Miss McKenzie, and Miss Megan, you will do things when you're convicted.
Mm-hmm. But I think God can convict someone on that day. I mean, if someone places a high importance on that, then he can use that for his glory as well.
I'm just sad that because every New Year's Eve, we get summer sausage and cheese and sparkling grape
juice.
But I can't eat the summer sausage now because I gave up the processed meats.
Oh.
So it's...
Like completely out of your diet type of thing?
I have, yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
We haven't talked about that on the show yet, but...
So that's like y'all's family tradition? Is that what you're saying? Like that's
we do that every... The kids want it. We do... We usually do the crackers, the cheese, the summer sausage, and that's our...
So no processed meat whatsoever.
I don't know. None of the sausages like that, pepperonis, none of that.
Oh, wow.
See, we don't celebrate New Year's at my house. Is that weird? I don't know.
No, I don't think it's necessarily weird. I mean, my family's never placed a high importance on it. I mean, when I was younger, I had an obsession with sparklers, so we did that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and then on New Year's Day, we are Southern, so I think that we don't really play into the superstitions about eating certain things on New Year's Day, but we do enjoy eating those things.
Do you know, I didn't even know about the superstitious foods until I moved back to Alabama and being out in California. I was like, so you mean to tell me? And I guess it's just because like our family traditions are so different, which is where we watch the ball drop on the TV and that's about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But about eating certain foods, I was like, how have I lived here my entire life? And I did not know that that was a thing.
Now, my father-in-law's cooking it. We're having black-eyed peas mm-hmm. and collard beans. Collard greens, yeah.
I do love me some collard greens.
That's what we're
going to normally do pork and collard greens and black-eyed peas and sweet potatoes. And
I'm telling you, we treat it like every other day. I remember in school, I was just thankful to have the day off of school. I was like, amen,
and
now that's
as
good
a,
enough for me.
And now as a mom, I really don't play into this superstition either, but I use it as an excuse. You're not supposed to, like, sweep and stuff, apparently. And so that, or do laundry. So I don't do any of those things that day.
It's a good excuse. It is a good excuse.
Yeah, because they say what you do, the saying is what you do all year long.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do any of those things.
Maybe my wife does need to sweep. No, I'm just kidding.
All year long sweeping. Oh, my goodness.
She'll get me for that one. Well, all right. I tell you what, we'll be right back with Megan and Miss McKenzie right here on Mix Sunday Morning. It's Mix Sunday Morning, and this has been a blessing of a show to have two, what I call superstars, in here. Because Miss McKenzie, when I went to Miss Silicaga, I was nervous to shake your hand. You were like the megastar, and I thought, wow, man. I thought I'm really out of place here, man. I was really Megan. I was out of my element. I was, you know, I'm below the totem pole. I'm the dirt underneath totem pole, and when I walked into there, and I was like, my goodness, I better shape up a little bit.
You did look very nervous.
I was nervous.
I can't imagine you being nervous. I don't believe it.
I could be on a stage with 20,000 people being able to share the Lord or say a prayer, and I would be cool with it. Mm-hmm. But that was different.
It is different.
That was different. That was a lot of pressure because I feel like I had to keep a standard. That I was representing those, I was the voice of the girls at sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I had a standard to keep. And where I'm more kind of ragtag in a way, I'm just me, I had to be structured.
Yeah.
Really structured. So it may have helped me in the long picture. Who knows? In the big picture.
It was something different, that's for sure.
Well, he did a great job.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said he did a great job. So.
I'm sure you did. I was going to say, whenever you said you felt out of your element, I was like, you can't feel out of your element with all those girls because all you have is girls.
Yeah.
Surrounded by women at your house.
Well, I have two boys.
Yeah.
And I have two grandsons.
Okay, never mind.
I have a granddaughter, and I found out over on Christmas Day, because it was kind of neat, they opened it up as a present. Allie is having another one. She's going to have a boy.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
well, congratulations.
So we have a lot of Rugrats running around.
So that's cute. So nice. So sweet.
They're awesome. They're totally cool. Well, as we head into the new year, I wanted to pull this verse up. And it comes from Numbers 6:23. And you'll remember this one because we used to say it at First Methodist all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's just for everybody. It's the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Mm-hmm. And see, the whole time we were there, I thought that was just something that the Methodist Church had come up with mm-hmm. until I found it in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And I felt a little more comfortable about saying it when I found it in the Bible. But to speak that over our listeners. And I love that last part, to give you peace, you know, in the new year, just to find peace in the Lord. And that he will bless you that way, you know, to bless you and keep you. And just trust him, like you said, Mackenzie, and in your life, Megan, that in the pursuit of life, that we find that we're just pursuing him, and that's the only pursuit we need. And we really don't have to pursue him because he constantly pursues us. We yes. just have to open up our hearts.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely really good, for sure.
One thing I always find comfort in, too, is he leaves the 99 to find the one.
That's right.
And he is always there, right over your shoulder. And the only person, he's not moving. He is completely standing still. If you feel far away from him, it's normally because you've taken a couple steps away, but he's still right there ready for you.
Like I always say, he's behind us because he's cleaning up our mess. He's on each side of us to keep us on the right path. Mm-hmm. And he's out in front of us moving things that we'll never know. That we'll never have to face because he's already taken care of it. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to change something in your life, just find the Lord. Trust the Lord. Trust him not just with your life, but your family's life. Mm-hmm. I know you both have kids. I have kids and I have grandkids, and it's to raise them that way. And as I was blessed to be able to speak at my mother-in-law's graveside service, you know, she was a woman of the Lord. She loved the Lord. She loved people. And that was my challenge to the family, that, you know, her life would be in vain if we didn't carry that love on. And that was the love of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And just to find that in your life, I mean, it's one of the, this world makes it one of the hardest things to find because it's total opposite of what Satan, like you said, he wants us to be judgmental. He wants us to judge people. But more importantly, what you said, Megan, he wants us to judge ourselves and make us ourselves feel worthless and that we don't mean anything. And boy, we are much, much more than that to God.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes whenever I'm, like, sharing the gospel or whatever, I kind of, like, get these thoughts in my head again that I feel unqualified or that mm-hmm. I'm almost, like, trying to sell somebody something.
Yeah.
You know, how, like, you're knocking on people's door, like, oh, I'm trying to sell you, like, Mary Kay, da-da-da. And then I also kind of think, like, you know, kind of touching on the New Year's resolutions and everything again, which is that, you know, like, a lot of times we tend to buy, like, what social media and what everything else is selling us. But how often do we buy? Like, you know, have you ever heard, like, Christians talk about, like, you know, how they came to Christ and all these things and their testimonies and all that good stuff? And, like, I feel like sometimes people that don't know the Lord, that's, like, the last thing that they're going to look at. They're like, oh, I don't really believe it. But you know what? That diet pill on TV, I'm going to buy mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get that. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's, like, kind of interesting. So sometimes I feel unqualified. Like, I'm like, believe it. Like, I'm carrying my Bible in my hand, but I'm like, believe it, it's real, it's true, this is what he's done in my life. And then I feel like, you know, people are looking at me like I'm kind of crazy sometimes, but you know, it's okay, it's all good.
But remember, it's not about, sometimes it's not about what we speak. It's how we how we act, our actions. We don't, sometimes you don't have to say a word. You know, there's some people that you do need to beat on top of the head with the Bible. You know, they need slapping around with it. But then there are people that will, they need to see us living that life. Mm-hmm. You know, walking it and then maybe talking it. But we have to walk it first.
Yeah, absolutely.
You look like you're in deep thought over there, man.
No, it kind of goes back to sometimes, I mean, once again, you hear the thoughts in your head that are not of the Lord. And when you said that you saw me that day at Missilacoga, and I do wonder if people can see Christ in me. And so it really, that is such a great compliment for you to say, and that's what I was thinking about, is that was that validation. And I know I didn't need it, but it does make me feel like maybe I am on the right path, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I saw it. I saw it whenever I sat next to her a couple of weekends ago at church, and the way that she was just like worshiping during the music and everything. I actually cried more. I cry a lot during worship anyways, but I cried a lot more seeing how her faith was and also knowing like what she's been through as a mom and at one point in time a single mom just like me as well. And it just gets me like so emotional because I love it whenever I see people, you know, loving God just as I do and like talking about him and not being afraid to raise your hands during worship and, you know, just the way that you're doing it. It just like, it was like coming off of you in that moment, and I was like, wow, this is good stuff.
Well, and I have to say, it's like the Lord keeps putting us in the same path because we had no idea. I mean, I knew last night when Greg texted me, but I know you didn't know I was going to be here.
No, I didn't.
And it's like we sat next to each other in church, and I'm just so grateful you're on here with me because I feel like the Lord has placed each other in our, we've crossed paths again.
I know, listen, so many times since high school.
It's crazy.
Well, since I moved back and everything, just me and her, I'm like, same church, you know, same school with the kids, you know, all that good stuff. And I'm like,
and I know we're in a small town, and I guess anybody could say that because I guess we could all see each other all the time. But it's like specifically you. So, I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah. So
something, everything happens for a reason.
It does. And Mackenzie, you see why Megan's in here.
Because yes, she's wonderful.
She is. I brought her on the show the first time because when I first started doing youth ministry, I guess that's what you want to call it, I would be asked to do the Sunday night teaching or whatever you want to call it, Bible study. And usually we didn't have the group we had on Wednesday night. You know, we usually had 100 kids on Wednesday night, but Sunday nights were, it was small. And Megan and her sister, and then it was one of y'all's boyfriends at that time. I don't know. He sat in between both of you. He may have been both your, I don't know.
No, both of theirs. I don't even know who it was, though.
That was so long ago.
But I would stand up there, and I would feel like I did an awful job. Uh-huh. I was nervous, you know. I'd never done anything like that before. And, you know, Megan would always come up after and just tell me how good it was. And that she loved it and blah, blah, blah. And that meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
And I've got to sit back and watch her life.
And grow up.
And grow up. I had the opportunity to officiate your sister's wedding, but yeah. I forgot that I was double booked that day. Uh-huh. I had another one to do, and I felt so bad about that. You know, they mean a lot to me. And Megan's a superstar. Mm-hmm. She's one of the original ones. And, you know, I love you. I respect you, what you do, your life. And I can't wait to see what God has in store for it.
Thank you. And I love you, too. And I know we talked the last time about how, like, you know, you know how I was giving you those words of encouragement, like during your services, whenever you needed it. And then whenever you like hit me up to come on this too, I had the same thoughts as Mackenzie. I was like, why is he reaching out to me? I didn't even know that you remembered me. Yeah. I'm telling you, I put myself so low on, like, I guess you can say a pedestal at all, that I was like, oh, no one even knows who I am. No one even remembers who I am. I was like, nobody, da da da. Like, you know, like those thoughts and everything. And there you were, and you're like, oh, hyping me up. And I'm like, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Because we're just all, you know, as nervous as I was to interview James Spann.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I thought, we're going to sit in here. This is his millionth interview. It's going to just be a, you know,
like
just
very dry.
Just die, no meaning. And then the man sits over there, and it was far from the average interview. Mm-hmm. You know, when he sits over here and tells you that, you know, one night his dad just walked out the door and never came back. Oh, wow. And that he never remembered his dad telling him that he loved him. So you never know what people mean to you. You don't. The seasons in life that the Bible speaks about, that we rub up against each other for some people for a day, for years, for life, that God ordains, and it's to make us better. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not to be somebody's crutch. You know, we may be for a day, but it's to be infectious for the Lord and to rub off on people. Mm-hmm. And y'all have both meant a lot to me, and what I see in both of you, and we're in good shape here in Sylacauga.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you so much, and I love me some Mackenzie too.
Yeah, she's all right, isn't she? Mm.
She's more than all right.
She's all right.
Well, now.
Goodness. Don't flatter me too much.
Well, before we go, can I say a prayer?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for Megan and Mackenzie. And Lord, not just that it's a new year, but Lord, it's another one of your days that has a purpose in it. That I ask you to guide them, Lord. I ask you to protect them. I ask you to shine on them, Lord. I ask you to bring peace in every one of their days, Lord. And no matter what they face, Heavenly Father, that you will lead them through it, that you've already provided the way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Well, thank you for taking the time to come in. I know you both have been a blessing again to me and to the listeners.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And I hope all your fasting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Megan, you've cut Netflix off, so yeah, I'm gonna have to text you and see how that's going.
Yeah, you should definitely check on my mental state. Yeah. Like the second day, ask me how well I am.
I may have to cut it off, but I didn't Netflix. Amazon Primed. I binged a show last night, so.
Yeah, that's why you were awake last night.
I'm through with it till the new episode comes out next Friday, but I caught up the first five shows till the next one.
Well, see, I'm going to be binging before I have to not binge anymore. My time is going to be gone. No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be a good thing. I know it is. You know, like I said, I'm going to give it up to spend more time with God. So yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
We all have a great afternoon, and you are welcome again. This would be fun to do again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will be back.
And throw New Year's, just, you know, we don't have to deal with New Year's or anything like that. And just come in here and turn it on and talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, God bless you, Miss Megan. God bless you, Miss Mackenzie. Again, just have a happy New Year, and the Lord bless your families.
Thank you.
It's Mick Sunday Night. It's time for the Suit Up Ministry Minute by Dr. Jeff Springer.
This is a Suiting Up Minute with Jeff Springer. Have you ever seen those commercials that advertise the latest wonder drug? And while the commercial shows the happy consumers, the announcer in a low voice spends the majority of the time listing the possible side effects that seem worse than what the drug actually claims to cure? They call that the fine print. Man, sometimes our walk with Christ is just like the commercials on TV. We look great on the outside, but beyond our Christian facade, inside, we have our fine print too. Oh, we go to church regularly. We often wear our favorite Christian t-shirt out in public, but our fine print can be found in the lack of patience with the store clerk, and even our conversations with those we love the most, our family. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." God wants us to be steady and obedient in our faith, both inside and out, without the fine print. Man, get in the game. Today is game day, and so is every day God gives you. So come on, man, suit up. To follow the Suit Up movement, go to suitupministry.com.